let's be on our feet as we take the Bible text for today. James chapter 5. James 5, 7 to 11. Okay. James 5, verse 7 to 11. Let's go. Therefore, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Verse 8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and see the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Father, we thank you. Lord, this is your word. The entrance of your word giveth light and understanding. Lord, we ask that you teach us your word and help us to be doers of your word. Help us to walk by your word. Help us to hearken to your word in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I hide behind the cross and I ask you speak through me to us all in the name of Jesus. Thank you, righteous Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before I start, I want to appreciate our chaplain, who is not here. I want to appreciate him for giving me this rare privilege to stand before us all to teach the word of God. Hallelujah. Because today is Wednesday, midweek teaching and prayer service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before I start, I want us to recall the lesson of last week. Our daddy talked on warning to rich oppressors. Warning to rich oppressors. We're still looking at that book of James. The book of James. He looked at James chapter 5 verses 1 to 7. In the first 6 verses of chapter 5, the wealthy are condemned by abusing riches and oppressing the poor. James does not denounce wealth in his own rights. He does not condemn anyone for being rich, nor does he put a premium on being poor. Money itself is morally neutral. It is the abuse of wealth that corrodes man's lives. The Bible does not condemn wealth if it's acquired honestly and distributed wisely. Just as our daddy said, he said, money is the wheel for mission. Hope you remember. He said, money is the wheel for mission. Without money, you cannot actually take the word of God to different places. So the Bible does not condemn wealth at all, just as our daddy told us last week Wednesday, if it's acquired honestly and distributed wisely. In consecrated hands, wealth can be a means of upbuilding the work of God. So it is not bad at all to be wealthy. It is not a bad thing to be rich. So long as you acquire the wealth in a genuine means and you are actually using that money, that wealth that you have to push, to move the kingdom of God to places, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, I want to look at our topic for today. Our topic for today says patience in suffering. Patience in suffering. Hallelujah. Before I continue, let's look at the word patience. What is patience? Patience or forbearance is the ability to endure difficult circumstances. Patience may involve perseverance in the face of delay. Patience is waiting with grace. It takes the grace of God for one to be patient, especially when you are waiting and praying and fasting for something. Hallelujah. So patience is waiting with grace, and it's what enables us to live in this demanding world. Hallelujah. This world we are in now is full of troubles. It's full of challenges. So if you take patience, for us to be able to wait till the end. And by the grace of God, if you are able to wait till the end, you will get your answers to your prayers. But if we are weary, we will not get our end results. We will not be victorious. So the message for today is for us to learn how to be patient, even in suffering. Patience is waiting with grace, and it's what enables us to live in this world. This world that is so demanding, and still have love, joy, and peace, and all other fruits of the Spirit. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit, as we can see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. Some other versions use long-suffering. Long-suffering. Now, in this, our human nature, we are very, very impatient. Very impatient. But thank God for the timely word of God today that will teach us on how to be patient so that we can get all that we desire. We can be victorious at the end. Now, patience under suffering. Patience in suffering. In verses 7 to 11 of James that we just read, James turned now from addressing the ungodly rich. James chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, James was addressing the ungodly rich. But now, in verses 7 to 11, he turned to the brethren. So he called them my brothers, my sisters. James turned now from addressing the ungodly rich. The men in verses 1 to 9, we are not addressed as brethren. So bringing counsel and encouragement to Christians who have been oppressed. Sometimes Christians were the object of ridicule and persecution. Sometimes they were defrauded of their rights, as we saw in James chapter 1 to 6. They were defrauded of their rights. They were not paid their wages or salaries. Sometimes they were falsely accused. Now let's relate it to our lives today, the world we live in today. How do we react to this? How do we react to challenges that we are faced in this society that we are today? How do we react to such challenges? Are we patient or we are quick to react? Are we quick to anger? Patience is the key word, according to James. Patience. Patience in suffering. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, unto the Lord's coming. There are two words translated patient in the book of James. One word, hypomona, means getting under the load to carry it. Getting under the load to carry it. This one is found in James chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 and 5, James 5, verses 11. The other macrotomio means long, to suffer long. It means to suffer long. And in the now form, forbearance. Forbearance is another word for long suffering. This is the word found twice. Forbearance is the word found twice in our text for today. They both are well translated by our English word, patience. So the summary of them all is patience. Patience. While we wait for the promised return of the Lord, we need the grace of patience in these verses. In these verses, there were three examples to remind us of this needed grace. This patience. James used three examples to teach us on how to be patient. Now we are going to ponder the patience of the farmer. We are going to ponder on the patience of the prophets. The prophets, we are going to ponder on the patience of Job. Now let's look at the patience of the farmer. Let's go back to our Bible text, James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. A farmer. When it's rainy season, the farmer gets ready to cultivate the land to plant. He does not know whether the rain will be too much or whether the rain will come at all. All he knows that it is the time to plant. So he gets ready his seeds, his instruments, and is out there in the field to plant. The only thing that will help a farmer to reap the fruits in due season is patience. So James likened patience to a farmer. Like the farmer, we may not be able to predict exactly when the Lord will return, but we know he will. We have been hearing it since in children's church. We have been hearing it. Now we are adults. And they are still telling us that Jesus is coming. It takes patience for us to wait for the Lord's coming. All we know that he will surely come. He will surely come. And when he comes, he's going to reward us according to our deeds. We can wait with patience if we learn the lesson of the farmer. The work of the farmer requires faith and patience. Faith and patience. He prepares the soil. He sows the seed. He cultivates the new growth. And then he waits. So there are many things that can trouble the heart of a farmer. So many things, as I've said before. Like if there is no rain, the farmer will be worried. Is it not so? After planting, if there is no rain, he will be worried. And if there is too much rain, he will still be worried. If there is diseases that affect crops, the farmer will be worried. If there are insects, yeah, of course there are insects that affect crops, he will be worried. So there are so many things that will make us on earth as Christians to be worried. So many challenges, so many problems. But still, he will wait patiently. He will wait. Because he knows that in due time, the crops will mature and the harvest will come. And then the long hours of labor will be what? Rewarded. He will harvest his crops. He will have enough food to eat and even the ones to sell to make a living, to make money. So it takes patience to wait. So James is telling us today that we should be like the farmer who cultivates the land and waits patiently for harvest time. The Lord will help us to wait in Jesus' name. In verse 8, James says that James says that as the farmer patiently awaits the harvest, so we too must be patient and muster up courage. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is drawing closer. Jesus is coming. Sure, he will. He will surely come. And when he comes, the wicked will be put down, wrongs will be righted, and the world will be set straight. Hallelujah. Our trials will not continue forever. Whatever we are going through in this world will not continue forever. Whatever challenges we are facing will not continue forever. And thus, we should be able to wait patiently for the harvest of eternal glory. The admonition of Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 is appropriate here. Let us not be weary in well doing. That's Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Amen. Verse 9 says that the fact that Jesus is coming and the fact that he is going to set things straight should have a transforming effect upon our lives. For one thing, it should help us eliminate grumbling. Grumbling. The word grudge means inward expression feeling of complaint created by undesirable circumstances. So we have so many things in this world that can trouble us, that can make us to grumble, like the COVID-19 that we're experiencing now. You can see in your heart, we have been praying now for this pandemic to go, but it's not going. Does it mean that God does not answer prayers? We hear of kidnapping every day, bandits, carrying children away, innocent children. What we wonder. So is it that God does not answer prayer? Doesn't look at these children, these innocent children? So there are so many things to grumble about. There are so many things that will make us to be impatient and be weary in well-doing. But James is teaching us today that we should not be weary in well-doing. We should be patient. He said, I know there is plenty to upset you. You are often cheated and falsely accused. And your nerves get edgy. But he admonishes that we don't become irritable towards our fellow Christians. Even in the church, there are some persons that can annoy you so much, that can make you to say, I won't come to church again. If we say we are Christians, why is she behaving like that to me? James is teaching us today that we should not be weary in well doing. We should not, because of somebody, and say, I will not come to church again. We should continue to serve God. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. If we grumble against one another, we are going to fall under the judgment of God for it. So it's easy to blame others. But on that day, our Lord Jesus Christ will not take excuses for an answer. So we don't need to blame others for what we want to do, our intentions, what we want to do. We don't need to give reasons, thousands of reasons why we should leave the church or why we should stay, why we should continue to do good or why we should not do good. In due time, we shall reap if we do not faint. James condemns complaining. He says, grow up. Grow up. One of these days, the judge will strengthen the matter's house. And who is the great judge? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be weary in when doing. Let's look at the lives of the prophets. In verse 10, let's look at verse 10 of our James. My brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Daniel in exile with the surviving remnant of Israel endured being shut up in a den of ferocious lion. We all know the story of Daniel. But he did not faint. Even when they threw him into the den of lions, he continued to do what? To pray. He was there praying. He did not grumble in his heart. Why did you allow them to put me in this lion's den? What of Elijah? Elijah fled from the wicked pink Queen Jezebel. Jeremiah was placed into a dungeon filled with mire, and he sank into the mud until it came up to his armpits. What would we wonder? How could such a thing happen? All these prophets that can even hear from you, that are walking by Jesus' side, that hear from Jesus every day, doing the work of God, how could such a thing happen to them all? Wasn't Jeremiah in the will of the Lord when over and over again he told the king's message, prophesying to the king? Surely he was in the will of the Lord. But that is how things happen in this world. You have been doing good, you have been giving, but yet it seems that things are not working out for you. But James is telling us today that we should be what? Patient. That if we faint not in due season, we will reap our reward. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Also, Hebrews 11 offers a long list of faithful Old Testament saints who patiently carried out the load of persecution for God's sake. They were persecuted, but still, their endurance encourages us to persist with patience. James says we must not give up when we face hard challenges in life as Christians. Instead, we must let the example of the prophets who have gone before us to give us fresh encouragement to keep on keeping on. In other words, God's arm is not too shortened. His power has not grown less. God's power has not grown less. His power has not grown weak. He is not deaf that he cannot hear us. And I can remember sometimes our daddy talked about prayers. He said God answers prayers. And he answers prayers in three ways. He can say yes, that he will give you your, that means he will answer you immediately. And he can say wait. He can say wait. And he can also say what? No. You don't have need for this now. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at another example of those who endured suffering. Another example is Job. Let's ponder the patience of Job. Let's look at verse 11 of James. Verse 11. Media, please. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and see the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know what the story of Job. Job was not patient in the sense of bearing his hard loss without complaining. But he persisted in his confidence in a sovereign God. Even though he complained. But he persisted in prayers. He persevered. He endured the torment he had that the devil laid on him. He endured it to the end. The final illustration of patience under trial is the example of our Job, as we see in verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Job had been suddenly overwhelmed with afflictions. The Sabians stole his oxen were stolen from him by the Sabians. Lightning killed his shepherds. The Chaldeans carried away his camels. A great wind blew over his house. His 10 children were killed. This would have made more than enough reason for Job to give up. Job's body was covered with boils. His wife laughed at him. Hallelujah. The wife said, why don't you curse God? His friends even accused him of sin, of committing sin. He said, don't you think you have a hidden sin in your heart that has made this calamity to befall you? When we are being faced with some challenges, some people will come to us and say, don't you think you have committed one sin? One sin, there's something you have done. That is making God not to answer this prayer. That is making you not to have this. That is making you not to have that. Even if they don't come to your front, they will say it at your back. Oh, see this person that is always going to church. I'm not seeing any change in her life or his life. But did Job curse God in all the challenges he faced? Did he curse God? He did not. He was patient. Job never lost his faith in God. He was steadfast. He endured to the end. Sometimes Job did speak impatiently. As Christians, it's not easy. Just as I said earlier, Our human flesh is full of impatience. We are always impatient. We are quick to grumble. We are quick to complain. But the important thing is perseverance. If we persevere to the end, we will receive our reward. He maintained a persistent trust in the Lord. And there's something about such resolute endurance, such resolute decisions. What if we make some resolute decision in our life to say, I will not give up. Come what may. The Lord will be challenged to say, this is my daughter. This is my son. Even with everything that is happening to you, you are still persistent. You are still saying, it is God, though. It is only you I know. I cannot go to a juju priest. The Lord will be challenged. and he will answer us. Praise the Lord. What of those people that we as Christians here? We are free to serve God the way we like. Because we are faced with small challenges, we complain, we grumble. What of those that are in the North Korea, Iran and China, where they don't have the free privilege of serving God? Still, you will still see some Christians there who will hold fast to the faith, who will hold fast to God, to say it is God alone I will serve. Apart from Job, what of Sarah? Sarah in the Bible, who was faced with childlessness. She never knew that her childless condition has an expiration date. Hallelujah. I was going through our daily manners for today, and I saw the title, the topic for today. It said the battle was time bound. Darkness promotes stars. So that means every battle in our life has what? A time bound. It has an expiration date. It only takes what? Patience. It takes patience. Sarah herself did not know that her childlessness has an expiration date. What of Hannah? Hannah that went through a knockdown of childlessness, but he refused to be knocked out. Your own might not be childlessness. Your own might be, oh, when will my testimony come? When will my expansion come? When will my business breakthrough come? When will my promotion come? When will my expectation come? Your own might be marital connections. Lord, give me my husband. Lord, give me my wife. What you should bear in mind today is that every challenges, every condition you are facing today has an expiration date. It takes patience for us to be victorious. There is an appointed time for everything. There's an appointed time for everything. And at the appointed time, God will show up if we do not weary in well-doing, in Jesus' name. In conclusion, James 5:7-11 says, God will finally reward those followers of Christ who endure steadfastly until the end. The Bible says if we put our hands on the plow and look back, we are not fit. We are not ready to win the prize. If you look at people, you will not make heaven. We have so many challenges that confront us, even in our offices, in the markets, when you are selling at a very good price, some other persons are selling above your price, and people are still going there. You will say, ah, my own is even cheaper, and people are still going to that store. When you are at work, you resume maybe by 8 o'clock or 8:30, and you went there and wrote 8:30. Some other person that will come after you will come and challenge you. Say, why did you write that 8:30? You would have waited for me to come and write before you write. So James says in verse 11 that God will finally reward those followers of Christ who endured steadfastly until the end. James speaks of a gallant spirit which refuses to give up, to give away, even under pressure. Even under pressure. Job had no explanations as to why those evil befall him or befell him. Job was an upright man. He was an upright man. And today in our society, in our lives, in our family, we see some persons might be sick and you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. At the end of the day, the person will see, oh, and you will be asking, does God really exist? Does he really answer prayers? If so, I'll be praying. Job had no explanation as to why those evil befell him. Yet, we know that afterwards, God blessed him far beyond all what he had before. Is it not so? Far beyond what he had. So also God will bless us too if we are steadfast in well doing. In the meantime, he is full of pity and of tender mercy. Our Lord Jesus feels our pain and is full of mercy. So in due time, he will answer us if we are patient. If we are patient. And all of us know that our greatest trial have many times latter brought us some of our greatest blessings. Is it not so? There are some battles in life that will come when we are at our edge of breakthrough. Of course, if darkness does not come, you will not see the stars. The sun will not shine the following day. You will not see the sun. So that darkness is the battles, the trials that we face as Christians. So it takes patience for us to see the sun, for us to see the stars. Some people you see today that are great, that are wealthy, that are doing well, they started very little. They once were faced with troubles. They once were faced with difficulties, with challenges. They had no money, but they kept going. They kept going. They kept keeping on. They refused to be knocked out. And so, you will see them today and we admire them. James is emphasizing the fact that we must keep on going. We must keep on going. In the midst of challenges, we must keep on going. In the midst of trials, we must keep on going. May the Lord grant us the grace of patience to be set steadfast to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.